to God this morning. Amen. We're going to begin this morning in Matthew chapter 5. Thank God for the Word. Amen. You know, the Bible says the Word makes us wiser than our enemies. Glory to God. The Word is medicine to all of our flesh, the Bible says. Glory to God. It feeds our spirit, man. It renews and restores our mind. It's the truth that makes us free. Matthew chapter 5. Now, we're going to look at and refer to three or four scripture passages this morning. Every one of these passages have to do with walking in love, walking in forgiveness, about using your tongue to bless people, not to ever speak anything ill about anybody. Amen? But I want you to understand something before we look at these. All of these passages we're going to deal with, they are not dealing with, because there's a lot of confusion about this sometimes, they're not dealing with defending yourselves if you're attacked. They're not dealing with just wars, and the people that fight in them. Glory to God. In other words, when somebody's at war, and they're out trying to kill the enemy, you know, they're not violating scriptures. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. And David, even in the old covenant, David says, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. There used to be a charismatic song about that. Anybody remember that? I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. What do you think David was doing when he was running through a troop and leaping over a wall? He was yielding his sword and people were dying at his hand. And he's saying, God was on my side, God was with me. So these scriptures have nothing to do with wars. They have nothing to do with godly authority. You know, a judge, a pastor, a parent, a boss, a teacher sometimes has to correct somebody. The Bible tells them to. It has nothing to do with somebody in godly authority meting out justice or discipline. Nor are these passages dealing with the need, amen, to stand against false doctrines. And to speak against. We're not supposed to speak against people, but we are supposed to speak against false doctrines. Or to speak against sin and open rebellion against God and His Word. How many of you know that Jesus rebuked Pharisees? How many of you think He was walking in love when He did that? But He rebuked Pharisees and their hypocrisy and their wrong doctrines. Paul turned people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Now that was actually for their good, so it was an act of love. And in 1 Peter 2:14 says that those in governmental authority are ordained by God to punish evildoers. In other words, policemen and judges and so forth, they don't pull somebody over for robbing a store and say, oh, I forgive you. I'm not going to hold that against you. No, they put them in jail. That's what they should do because they are ordained by God to restrain evil. Amen. Romans 13:4 calls police officers and judges and governing authorities God's ministers to execute wrath on those who practice evil. They restrain evil by force if necessary. The Bible says they don't carry the sword in vain. And then in the book of Revelation, writing those letters to the churches, Jesus rebuked two pastors in those letters because they didn't correct people, because they didn't rebuke people in their churches that were involved in ungodly practices and false doctrines. In other words, He rebuked them because they didn't rebuke people. So these scriptures have nothing to do with godly discipline or correction or for standing up for what's right, and they are not telling us in any manner whatsoever to tolerate evil. These scriptures all have to do with walking in love and forgiving those who wrong you personally. And in not retaliating against others who mistreat you with their words and their actions. Are you following me? Amen. See, we need to understand this because sometimes people are confused about love and forgiveness versus godly authority, godly correction, and about rebuking evil. So Matthew 5:39 says this, Jesus said, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Amen. Turn the other cheek. How many of you heard that? Amen. How many of you like doing it? It's not our knee-jerk reaction. You know, if you get slapped, it hurts. I mean, if you get physically, it would be a tremendous insult and it would be hurt. And I don't know about you, but my knee-jerk reaction would be to slap them back 5 times. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Amen. Everybody believes it's a good idea to walk in love and turn the other cheek until somebody slaps them. Because like I said, it hurts to get slapped. It doesn't feel good. It causes you problems. I mean, if somebody tells lies about you or talks against you, or you know, it can cause you problems. And nobody likes to be mistreated. Nobody likes to be talked about. Nobody likes to be done dirty. Amen. And if people spread lies about you, it could potentially damage your reputation. It could cause your business harm. It could cause your ministry harm. It could cause your reputation harm. How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? Now, in saying that, I'm saying that's why forgiveness is hard. People wonder why forgiveness is hard. That's why. Because it hurts. Because nobody likes it. And because it potentially could harm you. Now, it's not going to harm us if we forgive them, and if we believe that no weapon is formed against us shall prosper, and if we commit our hands unto Him who judges righteously. That's what the Bible says Jesus did. He trusted in Him who judges righteously. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's in Peter. Can you say amen? But everybody, but that's why forgiveness is hard. That's the point I'm trying to make. Forgiveness is hard sometimes because of these reasons. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have to forgive. Mark Hankins said, the love talk is a lot easier than the love walk. Amen. Brother Hagin said, we preach a lot about forgiving others, but some way or another, we don't practice it the way the Bible teaches us to. Amen. See, just because we know that we are not supposed to get offended, just because we know we're to forgive, and we're not supposed to talk bad about other people's, and that just because we're told to turn the other cheek doesn't mean we actually forgive like we should. Amen. Amen. So, and when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, you understand what He's simply telling us is we need to forgive those who wrong us and not retaliate or seek some sort of revenge. Don't retaliate and don't seek some sort of revenge. Let's read on later in this here in verse 44. That was verse 39, but in verse 44, Jesus said, let's back up and read verse 43. You can put that up there. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you, or those that treat you wrong and persecute you and mistreat you in some way. Pray for those who mistreat you and who persecute you. As Christians, we're to love our enemies. We're to bless and do good, and pray for those who curse us and hate us and wrong us. Amen. Bless those. Let's pay attention to that a minute. Bless those who curse you. Well, that's not, you know, easy according to the flesh, but we're to bless those who curse us. Romans 12, 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Now, we need to make sure we understand what that's saying, because when I think of persecution, I think about somebody persecuting me because we're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, persecuting us because we're a Christian. But that's not all the word means. The word persecute, the Amplified Bible says, bless those who cause you harm or hurt you. If somebody is trying to harm you or injure you or do evil to you, or they're saying words that are injurious towards you, that malign you or slander you in some way, that's persecution, you understand. Amen. Another translation, Romans 12, 14, says, bless those who mistreat you. Another one says, who treat you badly. Another says, bless those who wrong you. Another one, who harm you. Another one, who hurt you. Another one says, who make trouble for you. Bless, that's exactly what you want to do, don't you? Bless those who are making trouble for you. Amen. The Phillips translation, I like this, says, it's for those who try to make your life a misery. It's for those who try to make your life miserable or try to make your life a misery. Bless them. Don't curse. Bless. Now, this word curse is extremely interesting. It's not talking about, you know, bless those that curse you. It's not talking about cussing them out, you know, with your word. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about some, you know, witchcraft thing where you put a spell on somebody and place a curse on them, you know, grab a doll and you place a curse on them. Dear God, hopefully we know better than that. Can you say amen? No, this word curse means to revile, to denounce, to vilify. It means to condemn or to speak evil of somebody. You know, if you're reviling somebody, if you're denouncing them, if you're slandering them, if you're criticizing them. Not now, constructive criticism helps us, but if you're you know, trying to destroy them with criticism, and if you're condemning them, then you are speaking evil of them. But it does carry with it the idea that your words are in some way evoking or calling for some sort of evil to come on them. It does carry that idea. In other words, in the midst of your reviling and denouncing and vilifying them and speaking evil of them, you're also calling forth some sort, you want something bad to happen to them. It's the opposite, amen, of wanting them to be blessed. I don't know, it's kind of like you're driving in your car and here's this big 18-wheeler. If you're like me, they just tick me off because they're on the road, you know, but. But you know, not really, but a little bit. And so, you know, they cut you off and they do something and you don't like it. Not only do you not like it, it could have caused you to have an accident. So you know, if you're not walking in love, you're going to say, "You idiot!" Well, that's speaking evil of them. And then you're sitting there thinking, "I hope the state trooper pulls you over and detains you for about 5 hours and expects your truck from one end to the other and gives you 4 tickets and it costs you $4,500. That's cursing, not blessing. That's speaking evil of them and invoking you want something bad to happen to them. And so a lot of times when people are speaking evil of somebody else, when they are cursing somebody else, their words are, in essence, saying, you're saying something, you want something bad to happen to them. That's cursing, not blessing. Ooh, are you listening to me? Jesus said, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, love your enemies, and pray for those who mistreat you. To love like this is Christ-like. To love like this is a sign of spiritual maturity. If you keep on reading there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 48, it says, therefore you shall be perfect like your Father. Don't let that word perfect throw you there. The word perfect there means you shall be mature. If you're going to be spiritually mature, you're going to do these things. It's the right thing to do, and it keeps the door closed to the devil in our lives. Now let me say something, and what I'm about to say is we looked at in detail last Sunday, so I'm not going to, you know, cover that like I did. But the only hindrance that Jesus talked about as a hindrance to our faith was unforgiveness. There are other hindrances to faith. There are other hindrances to prayer. But the one that he emphasized, because this is the big one, this is the one that causes our faith from working, the one that he talked about the most or emphasized is unforgiveness. And so listen to this. Without love, faith can't function. And without faith, there is no victory. How many of you like victory? I want to say it again. Without love, faith can't function. And without faith, there is no victory, because faith receives the grace of God. And if you can't receive the grace of God because your faith is not working, and your faith will not work if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, if you're not treating people right, if you're walking in strife and unforgiveness and fussing and fighting and cussing and talking bad about people all the time, then your faith won't work and you won't have victory. Amen. Brother Hagin, way back when he was itinerant, I want to tell you two or three stories here as we go along. As he was itinerant ministering, you know, talks about going to a church. Of course, this is in the 40s. There's hardly any motels and so forth, and you would go and stay at the pastor's house, and he would take care of you. Well, he got to the pastor's house, and he and his wife, she was traveling with him at that time, in late 40s, early 50s, and got there in the afternoon, and they didn't offer to feed him, and they just went to bed. Well, the next morning, they got up, and, you know, they're kind of hungry, and the pastor and his wife were just gone. And so they thought, well, you know, surely they'll feed us after the morning service, because he's having morning services and night service. They went back to the house, you know. They don't have any money. They don't have any money. You know, they just had enough money to travel and get there. So they get back to the pastor's house, and they're not there. They do the night meeting, and you know, they come in real late and just go to bed. They get up the next morning. Of course, they've been about 2 days now without eating anything, and they're gone again. They're not there. Well, you know, this man is not treating him right. He's you know. And he said, I got the flesh just like you got the flesh. He said, we both belong to the Assemblies of God, you know, organization. I wanted to call the district supervisor, superintendent, I think they call him. And, and tell him how this man's treating us. But he said, I picked up the phone to do it, but I just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. He said, if you're going to act like that and so forth, then you know, you're causing your own problems. He said, but I refuse to be a part of his demise. I'm just going to walk in love and forgive. He said, finally, I told my wife, I said, well, go in there and see if there's anything at all in the refrigerator. And she looked in there and she, excuse me, she found one shriveled up hot dog and an egg. So he said, we cooked those and divided them between us and ate it. He didn't feed them for lunch, didn't feed them for supper. And so they go the next day. Now they're into the third day. Well, other than that little thing, haven't eaten. He said, one of the deacons of the church, he said, I think he picked up on something was going on. He said, he came to ask me if we needed some food. And he said, I didn't say, how many of you know he could have really lamb-blasted that pastor right there? But he didn't. He said, but he took me to his home, but took me to his back freezer and opened up the freezer and just said, get anything you want at all out of there. Had all kind of, you know, meats and vegetables frozen and so forth. And so that man gave him the food. He said, you know, I was tempted to just close, you know, get through with my service and just get in my car. I had a little gas in the car and just drive away and not tell anybody where I was going. He said, that'd make the pastor look bad. They'd wonder what was going on. It caused people to be suspicious about him. He said, at the end of the week, he said, they did give me a, he said, now they took up an offering for me every single night. He said, they gave me a $43 offering. Well, that was a lot more than it was today, but back in that day, you know, a normal offering might have been $150 or $200 or even more. And the implication is they probably took up two or three or four times as much as $43, but they only gave him $43. Well, you understand, if I was to invite a guest minister in here and we took up an offering for him and the offering was $1,000 and I gave him $400, that would be cheating him. That would be lying. That would be extremely wrong, and that would be doing him dirty. And that's his livelihood, you know. But he refused to say anything bad about him. Amen. He refused to say a word about him. Glory to God. He said, I had the flesh to deal with just like you do. He said, but I didn't want to cause any problem there. Then he says, and I'm quoting here, he says, he's talking about, you know, just in general. He says, I don't care if anybody did do you wrong or did me wrong. I've got to walk in love whether they do or not, because the Bible says love works no harm or no ill to his neighbor. As Romans 13, love does no harm to his neighbor. If my actions or my words are going to harm my neighbor, then I shouldn't do it. Can you say amen? He said, you know, you can't mistreat people like they did us and prosper in the things of God. Again, I'm quoting, you know, one paragraph out of 300 pages here. But like me, in this book, he goes into detail about how your faith won't work and how not walking in love can hinder your health and so forth and so on. But you understand that to a degree. He said, you know, you can't mistreat people like they did us and prosper in the things of God. But I wasn't going to do or say anything that would contribute to his downfall. Amen. And so he says this, and he tells another little story, and I'll just read it for time's sake because that'll help us. He said, we were sorely tempted to get out of love, but I couldn't gripe and complain about it. I've got to walk in love if I'm going to stay healthy. I just like it so much better staying well. So my wife and I just put our faith in God. We knew that down the road, God would meet our need, and so we just went on our way. What happened to those pastors? Well, sometimes later, the district superintendent called me and asked, did you preach for those folks? I told him that I had held a meeting for them. He asked me, did you pick up anything in your spirit while you were there? Because he knew Brother Hagin was used, you know, with the revelation gifts and the word of knowledge and new things supernaturally by the Spirit and operated in the power of God. So he's saying, did you pick up anything bad about them? He said, I didn't have to pick up anything in my spirit. I mean, if anything else, going all those days without food, my stomach told me something was wrong. He said, we had to deal with these folks. We had to take the church away from them. I noticed that was the last church this couple ever pastored. The district superintendent had to dismiss them from the fellowship. No one ever heard from them again. In fact, they just disappeared off the scene. We in the body of Christ need to treat one another with love. Love works no ill or harm to his neighbor. We can't mistreat people and think we can prosper in the things of God. And then he says, I went to hold a meeting for another fellow in Oklahoma. At this time, thank God my wife wasn't with me. So this pastor lived in a nice parsonage, and his church was one of the better, well-made brick churches in that area. He said, you have to understand, in those days, there weren't many brick churches in our denomination, the Assemblies of God. He said, but he lived in a nice church and lived in a nice parsonage. He said, but I had an opportunity to walk in love and work no ill to my neighbor. You see, this man gave me accommodations out back behind his parsonage in his chicken coop. He hadn't cleaned it out very well either. There were chicken droppings all around. He just put a bed out there, and that's where he put me. Well, you can imagine how you'd feel about that. And, of course, I got the flesh to deal with, just like you. My flesh rose up, and I thought, I don't have to put up with this. I'll just leave. But then I realized I couldn't leave because it might hurt the flock. They would wonder why I left and would have gotten suspicion of their pastor. You see, love works no harm to his neighbor, and God's love in us never takes account of a suffered wrong. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. So I couldn't do that. I decided to tough it out and stay there 1 week so it wouldn't make the pastor look bad. Amen. You ask, whatever happened to him? He died at age 39 with cancer of the throat. That was the last church he ever pastored. In fact, he wasn't even pastoring the church when he died. He was working in a grocery store. You see, if you don't walk in love, dear friends, you just throw yourself wide open to the devil's attacks. Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. Not walking in love, give place to the devil. Unforgiveness gives place to the devil. Amen. Talking bad about other people is not walking in love, and that gives place to the devil. You'll find that one reason there's so much sickness in the body of Christ, even among preachers, is the believers don't walk in love toward one another. And people can't get healed unless they make adjustments in their heart and begin to walk in love toward the other person. Glory to God. Amen. He said in this same passage, you can't prosper in God if you don't treat other people right or if you're holding on to grudges in your heart. Walking in the love of God is the way to prosper in this life. The God kind of love will bring, hallelujah, will bring you into victory in every area of life. See, love always wins. I said, love always wins. Say that. Say, love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins. Amen. Amen. Now let's look. We quoted Romans 12, 14, but let's look at that, Romans 12, 14, in context. Romans chapter 12, verse number 14. The verse we quoted a while ago is verse 14, bless those who persecute you, you know, that treat you wrong. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, this is God talking to you, God talking to me, bless those who persecute you, bless, do not curse. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. What does it mean, evil for evil? It means if they mistreat you, if they do some sort of evil towards you, then don't you repay that evil deed to them. Evil deeds or actions. Repay no one evil for evil. Amen. Verse 18, if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 17 again, repay no one evil for evil. Contemporary English version says, don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you. In other words, don't, you know, retaliate. Marilyn Hickey today is 90 years old. How many of you know who Marilyn Hickey is? Marilyn Hickey is a dynamic, the teacher of the Bible, charismatic, word and faith. You know, her and her husband, he passed away a few years ago, pastored a great church in Denver for a number of years. But in her 80s, she's 90 now, just about 90 now, in her 80s, she's been having crusades in Muslim countries. In 1912, Wikipedia says 400,000 people showed up at one of her crusades. They said in 2016, she's 85 in 2016, and in a single, it was her seventh parade in Karachi, Pakistan, they said 1 million people came to a single meeting. That's a lot of people, isn't it? I mean, so she's been going to these Muslim countries, dangerous places, and she said, we just preach the gospel and they love us, you know. And, and Wikipedia themselves, they call her a charismatic word and faith teacher, which she is. Well, you know, when she was in Denver, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She began to listen to Brother Hagin, got turned on. She loved the Bible. She always loved the Bible. She has turned on to the Word of God. You know, and the rest is history. They started the church. Her and her husband's on TV there in that church. Well, there's another minister in town that didn't like women preachers. And he's probably jealous of her success. So he began to persecute her. He began to talk bad about her. He began to say things about her from the pulpit and on his radio show. And he called her by name. That's real easy to think about somebody else being done dirty, but if you're done dirty, you got to remember you don't like it. If one person is talking about, but what if they got on the radio and called you, you know, said your name? And so he's saying a lot of things about her and criticizing her and reviling her and speaking against her and so forth and doing it publicly and so forth. And so Marilyn said, well, I didn't like it, but she said, I determined to walk in love. I wasn't going to let this get me down. I wasn't going to respond to it, and I wasn't going to get out of love and get out of faith. So she heard that his church was struggling financially. They had a tremendous need and were having trouble paying for their building and so forth. So she got up at her church, which is a good-sized church, and she took up a significant offering. Bless those. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that mistreat you. She took up an offering. I mean, it's one thing just to say, well, I'm not going to respond. I'm going to forgive him. But she got up and took up an offering for him and sent it to him. Well, it wasn't long after that for this man had her in his church preaching from his pulpit. Everybody say, love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to close with this. Now, this is going to be a long closing, so not a 30-second closing. Give me a second here, okay? 1 Peter 3, as you're going there, let me tell you what Ephesians 4, 29 and 32 says. The Amplified Bible says, do not let unwholesome words ever come out of your mouth. But how many of you believe God meant that? Thank you for those two holy grunts. How many of you believe God meant that? Do not let unwholesome words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others. The words we say to others or about others should build them up, edify them, and encourage them. The opposite of that would be to tear them down and to discourage them. Don't say words to or about people that tear them down ever, but only let such speech as is good for building up others, edifying others. Amen. Verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, not hard-hearted, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Well, if God commands us to do that, then we have the ability to do it. And certainly we do, because the Romans chapter 5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The God kind of love is in us. So we have the ability to love like God loves and to forgive like God forgives. That's why He commands us to love like He loves and to forgive like He forgives. If we can't forgive like He forgives, then He's unjust and He's unfair. But He's not unjust and He's not unfair. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. So then verse 31, that was verse 32. But let me back up. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. I keep pointing out this evil speaking because I think we read that and we kind of miss what we think evil speaking. People out there talking dirty and talking ugly and telling bad jokes. No, evil speaking in all these scriptures means don't slander other people. Don't abuse others with your words. Don't criticize them. Don't malign them. Don't injure them with your words. Don't hurt them with your words. Let all evil speaking be put away from you. Now, with that in mind, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, I encourage you to get last Sunday morning's tape where we went into this aspect of it much deeper. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not, as we said last week, that's very strong in the Greek. It means don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. Stop doing this. Returning or rendering or retaliating or giving back or paying back evil for evil. Evil deeds for evil deeds. Well, he's talking about if somebody does you dirty, if somebody does you evil, if somebody does you wrong, don't return it. Don't, isn't that what Jesus said? Don't retaliate. Turn the other cheek. Bless those. Amen. Bless and don't curse. Do good to them. Don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Amen. Reviling there. Other translations say insult for insult, cursing for cursing, hurtful word for hurtful word, injurious word for injurious word. It's talking about if they talk bad about you, if they talk evil about you, if they, falsely accuse you, don't return it. Don't do it. On the contrary, or instead, bless him. Well, that's what Jesus said. Bless those that are cursing you. Do good to those that are doing you evil. Don't return evil for evil. Return good for evil. Return blessing, words that bless, instead of if somebody's cursing you with their words, reviling you with their words, speaking evil of you with their words, you return blessing. You pray for them. Amen. You pray for their welfare, their total well-being. Amen. And you speak a blessing over them, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing for he who would love life. That means if you want to live a long time on the earth, he's quoting Psalm 34. You look it up and it says, he who would love many days. How many of you want to live a long time on the earth? He who would love life and see good days. How many of you want to see good days? Blessed days. Healthy days. Now, anybody can be attacked. Anybody can be attacked. Jesus said, in this world you will have tests and trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. I've deprived, the Amplified Bible says, I've deprived the world its power over you. I've overcome, in other words, so that you can overcome. Well, those aren't good days if you can't overcome. Amen. Now, you might be attacked, but blessed be God. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph, who always gives us the victory. We use our faith and we pray and we resist the devil and we, use our authority and we overcome. But if you can't overcome because your faith's not working, because you're not walking in love, because you've been returning evil for evil and speaking against people, those aren't going to be good days. In other words, you're going to end up defeated. And if you're defeated, those aren't good days. Now, this isn't the only reason. People just don't know the truth sometimes. Or people don't know how to receive by faith sometimes. But this is telling us a great secret here to good days and loving life. He who would love life and see good days, what? Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Other translations keep your tongue from doing this. Don't let your tongue do this. Or listen to me. From speaking evil. In context, what is he talking about speaking evil? Telling dirty jokes? No. From speaking evil. What's he just been talking about? Don't return evil actions, evil deeds for evil actions. Don't return when people speak evil against you. And speaking evil, as we've seen, means they talk bad about you, all of that, curse you, criticize you. Then don't you return that to them. Let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil about other people. If you're going to talk bad about other people and say things about them and malign them and curse them, then you're not going to see good days, is what he's saying. But if you want to see good days, if you want to love life, then let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil of others, from saying things about others that could cause them harm in any way, or that wish evil to come on them. I just hope they get theirs. Well, you might as well be a witch sitting in the back room putting a curse on them. So here's a great key to living a victorious, long, and healthy life. Walk in love, forgive, bless, and don't curse, and refrain from speaking evil against others, even though they speak evil of you. A great key to victory. Say it again. Say, love wins. Hallelujah. Love wins. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I'll close with this, and I'm really closing with this one. This is my last closing. There it is. I'm trying to find this. But most translations say, let him refrain his tongue. This says, you must keep your tongue from doing this. Here's a man. I heard his testimony. Tony's heard this testimony, named Brother Smith. Brother Smith's 90 years old. Brother Smith's testimony is I haven't been sick a day in my life in the last 40 years. That's during his 50s, his 60s, his 70s, and his 80s. He's a man of faith. He's a man that believes in divine healing. And he didn't know anything about divine healing until he was 50. He was a wealthy man, but by choice he still worked every day of his life. And he's we're going back to the 40s now, this man, and you know, dentistry and people didn't go to the dentist. He's got all his teeth and all his hair, and he's strong and healthy and full of vim and vigor and vitality, you know. And he said, I hadn't been sick a day in 40 years. But he didn't know much about divine healing. He said, 40 years ago, he's 50, 40 years ago, he said, a man came to church and he preached on divine healing. He said, and when he got through preaching on divine healing, the minister invited people to come down to the altar. And he said, I want you to come down to the front just like you accepted Jesus Christ, just like you took him and accepted him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to come down and take him and accept him and receive him as your healing. Because healing belongs to you just like salvation belongs to you because of Jesus' work on the cross, death on the cross. And you know that. And so this man says, I went down to the altar and I accepted Jesus as my healer. Glory to God. Now, he said, I saw from the Bible. This is what this man said. Now, he's a man of faith. He loved preaching on faith. He loved preaching on healing. He's a man of faith. He understands healing. That's all part of it for sure. You understand that? But he said, I saw from the Bible. See, because he had told God, when he saw that, he said, I told God. He said, God, I see that healing belongs to me. I took Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He said, I want you to help me to keep my teeth. He said, I want you to help me to keep my hair. Now, some of you can forget it because it's too late. Mine's got a little, I want you to help me keep my hair, you know. Be it unto you according to your faith, you know. I want you to help me. But he said, Lord, I want you to help me keep my tongue. Because this is what this man said. I guess from the very same scriptures that we're looking at. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, from speaking evil about other people and about walking in love and forgiveness and so forth. He said, I saw, this is what his testimony. He said, I saw if I was going to have divine health, I would have to watch my words. He got a revelation of that. He saw that. Well, he lives in a small community, and you know what this man is known for above all things? I mean, he's a wealthy man. He's a healthy man. But he was noted above all things as a man who would not say anything bad about anybody. That's what he was known for. Something bad would happen in town, you know, or somebody would do something really ugly, and you know, they'd be at the barbershop or whatever, you know, the place of gathering, you know, like people gather at Hardee's or something. He'd come walking in, they'd say, shh, let's see what he's going to say. And they'd just watch him time after time. He just refused to say anything bad about the person. That's what he was noted for. Glory to God. Yeah, he knew about faith and healing, but he also learned the secret of keeping his tongue from speaking evil about others, about walking in love, and about forgiving others. He who would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from speaking evil about others. And I wish we had made the connection better. We just never made the connection better. But I wish we... I don't know about you, so I can't talk about you, but I know about me. I got a hold of this several years ago, but boy, it's not easy when you're, you know, eating lunch, somebody starts talking about somebody and there's somebody that's kind of, you know, wronged you. It's easy to jump right in there. Don't do it. In 2018, Margaret and I had a motorcycle wreck. It wasn't a super serious wreck, but I did crack a couple of ribs. Broke a little bone in my wrist. They had to put a screw in it. Then they took it out. You know, when I was a kid, if you put a screw in something, they never took it out. But they put it in there to hold the bone together and took it out and jammed my finger real tight there. And, you know, Margaret broke the end of her little finger and totaled my motorcycle. And so I remember at that time thinking, now, Lord, there's been some things happened to me before when I knew that maybe I'd opened the door to the devil. But I have no clue as to why this happened, you know. But blessed be God, no matter what happens to me or doesn't happen to me, none of it ever changes the Word of God. And we were over it and fine and came out good financially out of the situation. And just 3 months ago here, we bought a 2021 trike, brand new Harley trike. But here's the deal, Tony. if Tony just, you know, if somebody does something to you dirty and wrong and maligns you, you know you're supposed to forgive that, and but it still doesn't make it easy, but you forgive it. But when it came to people in the car, just like you, you know, we laugh about this, but you know, you're in your car and somebody cuts you off or pulls out in front of you, or like the other day on the motorcycle, you know, we were around Townsend and somebody pulled out in front of me, then they pulled up real quick and slammed on brakes and turned around because they're making a U-turn. And all of that's making me, you know, because it's you don't like it, but then it's also, you know, endangering you. Well, I particularly don't like that on the motorcycle. In the car, I got a seatbelt on and I have... My closing got longer because I was supposed to close a minute ago, but because you got an airbag and you're protected. But on the motorcycle, you know, you're just right there. So I saw this the other day, riding the motorcycle real clear. Because I said something about that one car, but that I was joking about that, you know, they weren't in danger, you know. Because I quit doing that. But I saw this real clear. When I was on the motorcycle, somebody would do something that would put me in harm's way. You know, it wouldn't be just like in the car. Not only would I not like it, but I'd grumble and complain and gripe and say, look at that. Where'd you get your license? Walmart? I mean, you know. And I would to myself, and Margaret would hear me sometimes, you know, because we got microphones on, saying, ah, look at that stupid idiot. You know? And I did that regularly. When people did something that they shouldn't do, you know, I'm not talking about, I mean, everybody has a right to their lanes. I'm talking about they cut you off, they pull out in front of you, they pull over like they're going to turn right, and they're three-fourths down the turn, and you're going by, and then all of a sudden they turn and go the other way, and I'm like, ah, you don't. I don't know them personally, so I don't think of it as not walking in love, but just because you don't know them personally doesn't mean you're not walking in love. And instantly in my spirit, the Lord said, you know, when we had that motorcycle wreck, we were going over a causeway in Florida near Apalachicola, and this car pulled way, way over. His car's three-fourths off the road, and I'm going around him, and then he just slowly starts making a U-turn in front of me. No signal, no anything like that. And the Lord said, the very thing that you criticized people for and complained about and grumbled about and spoke evil about is the very same kind of accident that you had. And I knew in my spirit that he was telling me, if you had just, you know, you don't think of it as needing to forgive them, but if you would have, in essence, just not bothered, let it bother you and just forgiven them, that accident would have never happened to you. Now, like I said, I don't know about you, so I can't talk about you, and I don't talk about me. Well, I'm not doing that anymore. Amen. I don't care what they do, and I don't care that I'm on the motorcycle. You know, I forgive them. I don't pay no attention. Just, you know, glory to God. Somebody, I'm not going to tell you who, because I don't want you to know any details about this, because they may not want you to know. But somebody told me last week that you know, 45 years ago in their life, they knew what the will of God was for life, and they have been experiencing that for the last 40 years or so in their life. Been good, been a blessing. They'll experience it for the rest of their life. But they said, going back 45 years ago, somebody came along and started in this very realm that I'm talking about, attacking them and giving them a hard time. And you know, they knew to walk in love and forgiveness, yet they're you know, their flesh doesn't like it. So you following what I'm saying without saying stuff? And they told me, they said, the Lord said, if you don't forgive them, then this thing that could happen, that's supposed to happen in your life, will never happen. The thing that they've been blessed by with the last 40 years and that they will be blessed by as long as they live, said it'll never happen. And so they forgave this person and started doing good things for this person. And it doesn't always happen for that, but I was a pastor at a different church, and they said, you walked up to me and said, and this person that was giving them a hard time, I guess they were kind of transient or whatever, because I don't remember all the details. They said, you said, I just gave them a ticket and bought them a ticket and shipped them back to up north. So God took care of the situation to move this person completely out of their life. Well, whether he moves them out of your life or not, love wins. Love. But I got to thinking about this. The Lord, this thing in this person's life that is a tremendous part of their everyday life, a tremendous blessing to them. It's the perfect will of God for them. The Lord said, it won't happen unless you forgive that person. We haven't made these connections like we should. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to walk in love. Can you say amen? Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That makes sense to you? That makes sense to you. Say this out loud with me. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let the love nature that's in me dominate me. I'll not let natural human reasoning dominate me. I'll not let. I refuse to allow the flesh to rule me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit by walking in love. I'm going to practice and exercise the fruit of love. One way I'll practice the God kind of love is I'll pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I'll forgive those who wrong me. I'll bless those who curse me. I will practice thinking the best of every person. I refuse to speak evil against anyone. I refuse to be hurt. I refuse to hurt others or curse others with my words. Love wins. Love wins. And I win because I'm walking in love. And I'll see good days and long life and victorious life in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and praise God about that and thank Him about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 It's like the woman, you know, we told the story last week. She was out of love and she thought she hated her mother-in-law, but she realized she didn't. Just letting her flesh dominate her. And she asked God to forgive her. And then her child, serious case of epilepsy. And by the Spirit of God, Brother Hagin told her to say to the child, who was right then having an epileptic seizure, said, you know, that Jesus, the head of the church, said, you tell the woman, say to the child, say to this woman who had not been walking in love, but now she was, you say to the child, Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hands off my child. Now her faith would work. Now her faith would work. And she did. She turned immediately and she said, Satan, I'm walking in love. Just a day earlier, she hadn't been. She turned and said, Satan, take your hands off that child. I'm walking in love. And the child was instantly healed and never had another epileptic attack. Tried to come on her a couple of times and she withstood it. Glory to God. If you made some adjustments this morning, some corrections this morning, then you can say, I'm telling this by the Spirit, then you can say, Satan, take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my health. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my situation. I'm walking in love. There are no hindrances to my faith working, and my faith works, and I believe God. Take your hands off my situation in Jesus' name, because I'm walking in love. Amen. The simple truth of the matter is, if we're not walking in love, we're over on the devil's territory, out from under God's umbrella of protection, and when we try to rebuke him and resist him, he just looks at us and laughs. But there are no hindrances to our faith working if we're walking in love and walking in forgiveness and controlling our tongue and not ever saying anything bad about anybody. How many of you can honestly say, I'm not even going to look, just in your own heart and say, I commit to that. I commit to watching my tongue. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Come here and tell us the third part of that now. Tony, you know, took him into the hospital, going to put in a stent. They get in there and they say, we can't find any place to put in a stent because you don't have any blockage. But you know, which is good news. Prayed, he was anointed with oil, asked for that. He was a man of faith himself, but asked for anointing of oil. But then, and you can say this again if you want to, Tony, then he goes to the regular heart doctor because there can be other problems, but that doctor says, I can't find anything wrong. Glory to God. Took him off almost every medication he was on, but he said there's a third part of that story. Set it up and say whatever you want to say about that. Get over here. Can you see him on the camera there? Glory to God.
Okay. Got to be on camera. You know, the Lord revealed to me why I dealt with all this heart situation thing. And some of you might know, some of you don't. Pastor Mark knows. 18 months ago, my mother passed away, and I have been in the most unrealistic, challenge over her estate with four of my other brothers and sisters. And he has shown me that because I have not watched my tongue and I have said things like, that is so stupid. Why are they doing that? That is so, I've grumbled and complained through this whole thing. And it's been the biggest challenge of my life, I got to tell you. But the Lord showed me that this, my grumbling, complaining, I haven't been walking in love, which I repented of it. And it's why all this situation come upon me. You know, Pastor Martin's, he's real open about his situation this morning. So I'm going to be open about mine, you know. I haven't walked in love towards certain people in my life. You know, I mean, you might see me like, oh, that's Brother Tony, you know, he's always happy and glad to see everybody. Well, my wife will be the first to tell you, you know, that I haven't. And I confessed it before the Lord. When I did that, you know, I mean, all those symptoms are gone now. You know, I have no heart situation. I have no heart. I'm not going to have heart situation. But I will say, a couple of weeks ago, I got that strife. It came back again over a situation with one of my siblings. And I woke up that Sunday morning, and I was having these same symptoms. My whole right arm was numb all the way up. And that Sunday, I don't know if you're here or not, Pastor Mark, he gave a word that morning about, don't let this thing come back on you. I remember it plain as day because it was for me. I went to him that day and told him, I said, this word was for me, you know, because, and I had to repent again, you know, and get that off of me, you know. But it's so important what he was talking about you got to walk in love, you know. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
Can I finish that story about the 90-year-old man?
Sure.
I heard Brother Hagin tell that story about the 90-year-old man that had his teeth, had his original, you know, hair, lost it. I heard him tell that live 25 years ago, 1996. And the man was telling the story about, you know, I got my teeth, I got my hair, you know, everything's good. And he pointed right over there and he said, you see that old broke down man over there on the front row? He said, that's my son. He said, he's 70 years old. He said, he don't believe like I do. True story.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Confess your trespasses to one another that you may be healed. You understand, of course, that there are, that you know, people could be walking in perfect love, but you still got to know something about faith. You have to know something about healing, but you know, we got to get this right. We got to get this right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's early. We only have one main, you know. Come on.
Check baby. The clock.
Come on.
I don't have to come up here. You know, when you were leading us in that prayer and you were ministering that, I thought about something, you know, and, you know, you think about things that you have to repent, you know. And I was thinking about this other situation that I had wanted to say something about, make a joke about. Can you believe? You know, and regarding this individual, now they don't live here. They don't live in this state. But it's somebody I know. And they had made a decision to do something, and I remember thinking, I was thinking kind of like, I can't believe, well, probably okay. And then I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. Ew. And, you know, whatever they were going to do in a career and what have you. And, you know, I wanted to make a joke about it, kind of like, well, I guess they can do that if they want to. I hope I'm never around while they're doing it. You know, because I didn't feel like it was a good decision for them, that they possibly weren't going to be able to do a good job at it. And it could be dangerous, actually, and harmful. Let's say that they decided they were going to run a jackhammer. And they got that job. And I'm thinking to myself, I think, can you believe they're going to do that? They're liable to fly off that thing. I'm glad I won't be walking by when they're using it. You know, it's just funny. But, you know, I realized that I didn't have, you know, because I was, it was, at the end, but that was belittling them. But this is what the Lord showed me a while ago when you were saying that, is that what I was thinking could be potentially true. And so instead of making fun of it and adding my words that would stack up against them that could potentially cause them harm, that I needed to take that a little more seriously and say, Lord, I watch over them.
Mm. Bless them.
You know, help, you know, protect them. Give them wisdom, God. If this isn't a good direction for them, let them realize it, Father. Because I do, I want them to be safe. And so I realized it wasn't just a matter of me keeping myself out of harm's way by walking in love, but I was also not putting any faith over them to help them to be safe, to be okay, you know, themselves.
Yeah, that's good. That's
so it
good.
Had a,
I like it.
Another
good.
Side to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To bless, you know, as you study that word out, it means to speak words, but to bless, it means to... It means to pray about their well-being, their happiness, and their protection. Their well-being, their happiness, and their protection, their prosperity, their success. Amen. And don't be like the girl. You know, sometimes we're so upset with people, but then would you still be upset with them if you heard they were dying? I was diagnosed with cancer. This girl came to see me, and she goes, I go, well, I hadn't seen you in a long time. She goes, well, I've been mad at you. She said, but I didn't want you to die or anything. So, don't be like the lady, you know, that he said, well, you got any unforgiveness against anybody? And she said, no, I don't think so. And she said, well, what about your husband? She goes, oh, I got lots of unforgiveness against him. I didn't think he counted. Family members count. Say, love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins.
God bless you. We love you. We love you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.